Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
Yeah, and we've got another episode of Ask the Guys today, but I always like starting off with, what's up, Brian? What's going on?
Not much. It's getting cold here in New York. Winter is upon us.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool here. It's like, I think it's going to go down to 60.
It's getting cold here, but it's all good. Holidays are upon us. I booked a couple of my holiday shoots already. I do some commercial shoots for a couple of different commercial companies that always hire me to come out and shoot all their holiday decor exteriors. So I got a couple of those in the books, and that's it.
Well, I want to say something here is life-changing, has changed and started. It goes every year. It's a thing called we get rid of daylight savings time, and my twilights start at 5 p.m.
Yes, that's not bad.
And it will go down to 4:30, and I'm so stoked, and my clients love it. Life is good when daylight savings time ends.
You go get a twilight shoot in your home by 6 o'clock. What's not to like?
Yeah. Well, in the summer, I get home like 10, 15, 11.
Oh, the summer, it's the worst. 11, I remember I was talking to you one summer, like 10:30 at night. You're on your way home from a shoot. I'm like, I don't know how you do it.
Okay, so enough with us. Let's get on to the question.
Sure. I'm going to play it now.
Hello, Rich and Brian. This is Ron Lute of Ron Lute Photography at ronlute.com. And Rich, I'm practically a neighbor of yours, about 2.5 hour drive north up in Redding, California. My question today is, I keep hearing window pulls, and I know this is probably an obvious one, but can you explain what a window pull is and how you do it? Anyway, thank you, and I really love your show, and I'm glad that somebody is giving us the information for us real estate photographers. Thanks.
All right, Ron, thank you for that question. That is a great question, and definitely a good thing to know from a technique perspective, all about window pulls. I don't do them as often as I probably should, although when I do, I do know how to do them, and I feel I do them fairly correctly, but that being said, Rich, you are the window pull master. I mean, I know you didn't, term the concept and, invent the technique as you've said before, but, you know, it's become a known thing amongst you and your YouTube channel and your followers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people turn to you for questions about window pulls. So Ron, who's apparently a neighbor of yours, wants to know what they are, everything about them. So, Go give us the whole window pull Megillah.
Okay, the Megillah. Yeah. Ron, thanks for the question, man. We've got to get together and do a joint effort for having fun with shooting when we're not so busy. So I'll be checking you out up in Redding, California. But back to your question, I think it's a great question, and it's one that I get asked all the time, and I still see all the time. Well, what's a window pull? And that's a totally fair question, because a lot of us think that everybody knows what it is, and maybe has different ways of doing it or knows of things. There's a lot of people that don't even know it exists. So basically, and I want to premise this as I always try to do, is I'm by no means the one who invented window pull, coined the term, ever invented darken mode, anything like that. I get attributed to it, but it's for me, I'm more of the pusher of information. I get that information out there. And it is something that is really, really important, and especially will set your images apart from everybody else's. If you are doing window pulls. So basically what a window pull is having the ability to take the necessity to take a separate exposure of the window exposure. Now, that is really what a window pull would be. It doesn't matter how you do it. And again, This may not be the 100% exact terminology or explanation, but it's what works for me, and I think kind of will get you understanding what these are. So anytime you need to do a specific image of a window exposure to insert into your image, because for one reason or another, the view out of your window is overexposed, or it could actually be underexposed. I don't do a lot of reverse window pulls, but sometimes you can do that too. So it's anytime you want to do a specific image. Now, a lot of times I don't do that because I shoot with lights, and I tend to expose for the brightest thing in the room. And that is usually the window or a light. And then I light the rest. And that kind of originated from my learning from Scott Hargis. And it's done me very well. But I have taken it another step forward. And that is to do a window pull in darken mode. Now, let me just explain a couple of things. If you're just going to take an exposure for the window view, you then have to take a polygonal tool in Photoshop or a pen tool, and you have to select the areas that you want to insert this exposure in. Now, that's fine if the window frame and the window is square or really easy to select. But if you are doing something where, let's say, in front of the window, you have a plant, then you would have to select each of the leaves. And if, let's say, you have a window with a shutters or louvaliers, you're going to need to select each of those areas. And that's where it got really tough. Now, there are other ways of doing it as opposed to selecting it. You can also use color ranging. I know that Nathan Kuhl has a great video, and I actually might start using it, where you can select color range, and it will select only the areas of the color that you want. Now, this is by no means the right explanation, so don't use it, because I don't really understand it. But I think that you can always check out Nathan Kuhl's videos on that.
Well, that's just different ways of masking. I mean, color range.
Correct.
You can do luminosity is another one, which is what I use a lot on window pulls because it's so bright. But yeah, there's a million ways to do it.
Yeah. And the way that I've really, really, really started using, and it just works like magic for me, is what's called the window pull in darken mode. Now, I did not make that up. I was told that by my very good friend, Peter Lyons in Berkeley and Petaluma, now he lives. And then I think he learned it from Wayne, and who knows who invented it. But basically, the whole concept is if you expose for the window, and as long as the view is darker than the image you're masking it into, then if you are pointing a light directly at, or however you want to point it at the window, it will keep that same exposure for the view, but it will overexpose the window and everything in front of the window when done properly. And then if you mask in that frame, then it will only mask in darken mode. So instead of going normal mode, you go darken mode. It will only mask in what is darker, and it will not mask in what is brighter. So it avoids all the stuff that is around the window view. So it works like magic. It literally is probably the biggest life-changing thing anybody ever taught me. When I was driving in the car, and Peter and I were talking on the phone, and he explained it to me, and I literally had to pull over and go, I had to process it and go, oh my gosh, this is life-changing. So I have a lot of videos on my YouTube channel, and it's probably time to do a new one for window pull in darken mode. But you can certainly see it there. You can learn from a lot of other, if you look it up on YouTube, you can find a lot of information there. So I just want to say I didn't invent it, and I just use it, and I try and teach people how to use it. But it's a great way to do what we want, what we need to do. And again, all a window pull is, in answer to your question, is when you need to do a separate exposure for the window and put it into your existing image because you want to expose your window better.
Sure. I think it's a good trick to have in your arsenal. Very often I don't do window pulls because I like having my windows a little bit brighter, you know, maybe a half a stop overexposed, sometimes even more depending on what's outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But every so often, you know, you get a shot where the client specifically says, I need you to show the view. Or, you know, last week I did a cover shoot for a real estate magazine out here on Long Island. And we went to a location for one shot, literally. And the whole concept was the view on the water. They had a lot of windows in the room overlooking the water. And I had to do a lot of window pulls. But that's where that trick came in perfect, because I was able to go in and, you know, took a couple of minutes on site, you know, flashing everything, but, you know, in post, it took probably less amount of time in post, just like you said, going to darken mode. And just, you know, at that point, once you go to darken mode, I have to clean it up a little bit. But other than that, it was perfect. And then, like I said, I do like my, even on a clear shot, I do like my windows a little bit brighter to let it feel a little natural. So, you know, even if my window pull comes in perfectly, I'll always, you know, brighten it up with a curvilator or something just to give it a little brightness and make it feel a little bit more natural. Because usually on a sunny day, the outside is brighter than inside, even with all the lights on. So, yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you said you have some videos on your YouTube channel. So we're definitely going to link to some of those so people can understand the concepts and you know, the technique behind it.
Yeah. And you made a really great point, Brian. It's really important for everybody to understand. It's so funny because there's certain techniques that are, once you learn them, once you start using them and you really like them, you start overusing them. I know for me, it was single point compositions. Once I started doing a single point composition, I would do it all the time. And I learned that many times it's not appropriate. So I had to pull back. And with tilt shifts, I learned when you are new to it, you tend to raise your camera up too high and overshift down because you can, and it's really cool, but it's not appropriate. So it's the same thing with window pulls. It is not always appropriate. Not every window needs to be crystal clear and bright. Many windows, you want almost a reverse window pull because, like, you don't want to show zero lot line. You don't want to show how the neighbor can look in your bathroom and things like that. So it's a great tool to have in your bag of tricks, but you don't feel that you have to do a window pull on every window.
Sure. Let me ask you a question that I just thought of as you were talking, which is a little off topic. So, Ron, I apologize for going off topic. We were talking about when you know, started using a tilt shift lens and you always, you know, would put the camera too high or whatever. What is your, do you have like a default camera height that you always go to when you're starting before you, obviously every room is different and you kind of adjust accordingly. But like when I walk into a house and I'm setting my gear, I kind of have a default height, which I always start at. And most of my shots are kind of at that height. Now I know you're probably a lot taller than me because I'm pretty short, but I kind of go like chest level, a little higher than chest level, and use that as my like starting go-to point. I don't know if that's something that everybody does or just I do, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I am about, now I'm 5'9.5". I used to be 5'11", and that's another story for another day. But I've gotten shorter as I get older. But I tell people I like belly button height, and that is hard to tell because my belly button is different than yours. But I think in general, I put it up to where I put it, and it's not up to where my chest is. It's where my belly button is. And that's, I don't have an exact height, but I do mark the legs on my tripod. So I have them exactly set up every time. So generally that works good. But if I'm shooting a kitchen, and this is without even a tilt shift, if I'm shooting a kitchen, I am going to, the rule of thumb that I was taught by, I think Scott DuBose taught me, it is to put it up high enough so you can't see the undersides of the cabinets.
Sure.
So that's a really good, you know, rule of thumb. But as far as tilt shifts, I tend to raise them up. Like if I have a specific shot, I did one last week, the homeowner said, I want this shot. I don't care what other shots you do, but this shot made me want to buy the house. This view of, I want to be the view of the kitchen sink, and I want to be able to see the pool outside, because that's what sold me the house, was that we could be sitting and standing in the kitchen doing dishes, watching our children play in the pool. So I had to get my camera way, way up high, about five and a half feet high. And then I had to shift down. Now, that's acceptable for that shot. But something I learned over time is, if you raise your camera too high and shift down too much, it starts playing with weird perspective issues and tends to, like, will make a table in front of you or a countertop look like it's falling down in front of you. And that's just a perspective issue. So I think really good thing, especially for all these people now starting to get tilt shifts. And, you know, just my opinion is, every time you do a tilt shift shot, remember, have a little bit of Rich Baum in your ear, or I remember having a little bit of a couple of photographers in my ear every shot I ever do, because they're telling me, okay, you put it up too high, bring it down now. And so I always think of, okay, do I want it this high, or should I make it lower? So adjust your height accordingly, and there's no perfect rule for everything in every shot, but I think you should get your what works best for you, and make mental notes or mark your tripod at certain heights so you know what seems to work, so when you get home you're not going to have all these weird perspective issues.
Exactly. You know, I do the same thing. I raise it up a little for the kitchen. Bathrooms, I usually tend to lower it a little bit. And go from there. But yeah, that's like you said, what I try to do is, it was a hard habit to learn and I still forget every so often, but after each shot, I try to bring my shift knob back to the center. So when I get to my next shot, I can compose from a, I guess if you want to call it, a flat or even perspective, and then shift accordingly from there. Because I don't want to shift all the way up for a shot, then go to my next shot and start raising or lowering my tripod legs, not realizing that I was shifted all the way up and not have an appropriate shot. So I'll shoot a shot if I'm shifted all the way up. Once the shot's finished, I'll level the shift knob back to zero and then go in and recompose for the next shot. And then if I have to adjust the shift accordingly, I'll do it that way. So
what about when you've done a vertical, you turn your camera vertically, portrait mode, and then you forget to rotate your lens, and you're just
that
going.
I do that way too often, and I shoot like that. I'll notice it like after my first or second shot. I'm like, oh, I forgot to shift back. But yeah, I do that. I'm guilty of it, as I'm sure many others are.
Well, I think we should definitely do a podcast on tilt shifts. I know there are a zillion people out there just don't understand it. And I'll say that it's hard to understand until you really get one and use it. But the best thing to do would be to rent a tilt shift and get a little information, rent a tilt shift and play with it. But I don't want to go into that.
No, for sure. But yeah, Ron, I want to apologize because, you know, we just went off on a tangent of your question. And that was my fault. But nevertheless, yeah, back to the window pulls. Rich, you said you have a lot of good information on there. So we're going to post some links on our show notes to some of your tutorials. And as you mentioned, you might want to do a new one in the future. So obviously, the whole community would welcome that. And yeah, I mean, there's a ton of information out there, whether it's, you know, Rich's, you know, video tutorials or some different things you can read up about it. About window pulls, and it's not a hard concept. It's very easy to learn, and it's also something you can just practice in your house. So, you know, you don't want to get to a site and say, oh, I want to try this new technique I learned, to your client, and you don't get it right. And you're just, you know, you deliver the images and they're like, well, what's this new technique? Because these windows are pretty bright. So, you know, the good thing is everybody has windows in their home. So just take your camera one day, set it up, and just start flashing away till you understand the concepts. And once you understand the concepts, it's very, very easy to pull them off. No pun intended. Yeah. So,
and one really important thing too is, I get people all the time making comments on my YouTube channel where window pull, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Or I don't. Well, here's the deal. it is just, as you mentioned, Brian, 100%, it's a concept. And once you understand the concept, it's foolproof. But you have to do everything by the numbers. It has to be darker view, brighter window around the view, and in darken mode, then it will work. But if you don't do it right and you miss one of these steps, it's not going to work. So most of the time, people are just not doing one little thing right. And it's not working.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you mess up a little part of it and the whole workflow will kind of get thrown off base. But mm-hmm. it's a pretty easy concept to learn. And
it's the coolest concept. So whatever you do, figure it out and work on it until you get it. Because once you get it, it is life. It's literally life changing because it's going to cut hours and hours out of your day of working. Once you don't have to select windows. Oh, my gosh, it's just amazing.
It's true. We're all a little bit of, I guess, all us real estate photographers have a little geekiness in us, and it is pretty thrilling when you go and change that mode from normal to darken, and all of a sudden your shot looks great and you get that little smile on your face and you're like, oh, it worked.
And you just wipe your brush over the window and it just only brings in your view. It's just fantastic. I love it.
It's funny. I don't even do it that way. I do it the opposite way. I'll kind of just like lasso the window or something like really quick and dirty, and then just put mask that, and then just change it to darken. The only problem with the way I do it then is sometimes, like I said, you have a little cleanup to do around the edges if you know your overexposed flash kind of didn't reach some parts that you lassoed. But it's pretty easy.
I want to thank Peter Lyons, and then Peter can thank whoever else he learned it from, and so. And I guess that's the answer I got for your question, Ron. So thank you so much for submitting it.
All right, cool. And as we always say, submit your questions. We're running low on Ask the Guys. We need some more questions to answer. We need some more content to give you. And the more you ask, the more we're able to provide. So please go on our site and submit your questions.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you so much for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, be sure to. And I just want to tell everybody to, you know, shoot better, shoot smarter, and just go out and shoot spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.